Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. Amen, and I invite you to be seated. There are folks who don't get to experience those drums and that piano every Sunday. And so some of those folks aren't quite certain what to do with this whole story of resurrection, of Easter. But the truth is, I know some of your stories, and I know that some, even in this very room, who are blessed with that gift every week as we gather to root our lives in grace, and then you move together in kitchen tables to watch over and love the people around you, and you reach in love in so many ways. Even folks in this very room aren't sure what to do with this resurrection story from a long time ago. See, there are folks who make an argument, and it goes something like this, that the literal body of Jesus was brought back to life on that day of Easter, on resurrection. And then there are folks who hear that and they say, well, that doesn't sound like resurrection. That sounds like resuscitation. And God actually is into something way more mysterious and powerful than resuscitation after a couple of days. There are theologians and Bible scholars, there are pastors way smarter than I am who have disagreed over the centuries about what this whole resurrection thing that brought us up out of bed for some of us in our best of clothes to gather together. They don't agree. See, what happens is, on some level, some people hear that, okay, if you can't resolve this question, then I'm out. I'm not going to stick with this. If you can't put God in this box that I can hold on to, if you can't tell me with some certainty what went on, I'm done. And so they walk out the door. And then there are folks who see them go out the door, I think, and they start to think, well, if they don't have certainty, I better build myself some. And so they start to put boxes around everything. And their theology becomes really, really rigid and structured. It becomes fundamentalist in this way that says nothing is going to come in to touch or to mess with the power and the possibility of resurrection as I've known it. So they think they're creating an impenetrable wall that I don't think God ever needed in the first place. Some of us hear all of these questions and we think, well, it's just because we live in this moment. These are postmodern questions. People have struggled with this because, well, we're so advanced. And if we look back at the primitive times, surely those earliest followers of Jesus would have been able to just clearly go with this. And for the people whose theologies get built in these rigid ways, they want to have absolute certainty that those early followers knew exactly what they meant when they said the body was resurrected. And for folks who want to walk out the door, they say they have no idea what they mean when any of this happened. And the truth is, we could not be more wrong in imagining ourselves so advanced in relationship to those ancient folks. See, Linda read in the gospel a place where I think Mark could have stopped and it would have been an ending. It would have felt like an ending. But Mark's gospel continues. In verse 8, it says this. So they went out. These are the women that went out. See, the men didn't bother to get up to actually be there in that moment. But the women went out. And they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That is an unresolved ending to a gospel. I guess, or I'm guessing, that some of you didn't get dressed up this morning to hear that they went out afraid and they said nothing to anyone. Like, there's no sighting of a resurrected one in this ending to Mark's gospel. There's no triumphant. In some churches, you gather on Easter morning and the pastor will say, Christ is risen. And the people will say, Christ is risen indeed. And they'll yell it really loud. And these earliest followers of Jesus knew nothing of that. It was Christ is risen, and they took off running. This can give some of us some hope when people around us ask us, like, can you just state your faith clearly and boldly? Well, kind of like the women who bothered to get up that morning, not most days, actually. And neither could they, but something in their life was transformed, and they must have found a voice at some moment to share that good news, because the story is with us here. But those ancient followers of Jesus, many of them couldn't live with that kind of an ending. They couldn't live with it at all. And so they rewrote it. So we have folks that come to us and they're wondering about the table. And one of the things that they'll ask oftentimes, one of the things I get asked is, do you preach from the Bible? And I think, I know some of you have asked me this question. I think what people have in our minds when we ask this question is a preacher who stands in front of us and goes line by line through a text. And I think for some of us, that style or that framework can help us feel a sense of certainty. Like, they're looking at that book, so there must be an answer to my question right there. And it holds that for us. And so we want to make sure that happens. And I can't say that we always preach line by line from the text, but I trust that we always hold our lives in tension with this ancient witness of how God was in the world in the form of Jesus. And we do our best to allow that way of transforming who we are in our lives today. The truth is, though, when you actually open this up and read the text, the unexpected of God trumps the expected every time. And so I want to share that with us this morning. I want to share the end of this story with us one more time. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you'll see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It just doesn't sound like an ending at all. So some of those monks sat around, and they discerned this gospel needs a real ending. Like, Mark must have just been off that day. Maybe he just stopped. He got busy at the end of this and he just walked off, right? You just walk off the stage. I imagine that's what people felt, because this is not an ending that feels like an ending. At least it doesn't to me. So they decided to add one in. And this is what they said. And if you read in Mark's gospel in your own Bible, you'll see this. And usually it'll say shorter ending. It'll be in parentheses, right? It says something like this. But they reported briefly to Peter. See, this is clearly edited by men as well, because they're going to have the women go tell the man so that it all is legitimate in this space. They reported briefly to Peter and those with him all that they had been told. And after these things, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Now that sounds like an ending. That must have been what Mark imagined, even though it was written hundreds of years later. They must have been correct in ending this for Mark. But there were some folks that didn't like that either. That might be concise, but we could do better. So depending on which of these gospels you see circulating around, you'll see a much longer translation as well. You'll see it in many of your own Bibles. It'll say the longer ending. So it's like the followers of Jesus couldn't handle an ending like The Sopranos. They needed Breaking Bad to like close this all up and make this make sense for them. But what if the power of God's movement, of God's resurrection story, is to be found in the unresolvedness of exactly how Mark originally left it? Just going along and then mid-sentence stopping. Luring you and me and anybody else that might hear this down the road into picking up the story and going on. There's a power in that kind of unresolved way of ending. Our music team is going to help us. They're going to help us feel the difference between a resolved ending and an unresolved ending. So we just sang the sun will rise. And I at least am a musically challenged person. So I needed to hear this out loud to feel the difference in how it sounds. So this is the end of the sun will rise in a resolved form.
Won't you dry all your tears, lay your burden down.
Everybody got that? Like, you know it's over now. Lay your burden down. There. That's it. That's it. It's over. Now, here is the same song, unresolved. Let's try it one more time.
Won't you dry all your tears, lay your burden down.
If you've been with us in worship all these weeks and you're singing that song, you know that the word is down and you think they screwed up. Just like folks thought Mark screwed up. Let's bring this to some resolution. Let's end this with a period, with a full stop. But that's not at all what Mark does. It just leaves us on this edge, luring us toward picking up the story. Just hanging right there. So let's go back to the beginning of this chapter that Mark shares. The beginning of this chapter starts like this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" See, they were pretty sure, actually, that the song had already ended. The song was over. That was the last note that was going to be played. I suspect that as they got up that morning, what they really felt was this deeper burden, knowing that the song was over. How are we going to move this stone away so that we can do what our culture and our custom teaches us in anointing this body to prepare it for its burial? And I resonate with them. There are some mornings where I wake up and all I can think about is what feels like this huge boulder that I think I need to push away myself. And so it makes me oftentimes want to just stay right there in bed because the burden feels way bigger than I can possibly imagine. But the truth is, I might be more like those men, the ones who thought that they were trying to follow Jesus. The ones who thought that they loved him best. The song for them was way over. So over that they weren't even going to get up that morning to go and be next to the body. They just stayed right where they were. But the women had the courage to get up and to make their way one more time, knowing that God's song had ended. Mark continues, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And in that moment, I believe the women started to hear God's song rising again. God's unresolved song kept moving. And it wasn't them playing it. It doesn't say that they rolled it away or that they carried on the song. It says that it was. It had just happened. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you. I actually think that's where Mark should have just stopped. That's way better, like, ending as an ending than verse 8. If you just stop in verse 7, we're all done. It's maybe not the clearest thing, but at least it's kind of a direction, right? There, go. Go to Galilee. You'll see him there. He's not here. It's still mysterious. Still kind of hangs there, but at least it's an ending. Death could not hold Jesus. You expected him here, but God has risen. And if you want to see God again, you're going to need to be on the lookout out there where you've come from, not here in the tomb. See, the rebellion of God is on the loose, and Mark could have stopped right there. But Mark doesn't. Mark closes the gospel like this. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What if resurrection is actually like that? What if resurrection feels like that? What if the ending of Mark's gospel hangs unresolved because the story of resurrection doesn't really end ever? It stays unresolved always. What if the gospel writer intended that kind of lack of resolution as a way or an invitation to lure you or me or somebody that might pick this story up to find our own instrument and to keep that song going, or to maybe just open our ears to God's song that's already been playing, even when we think it's been closed off? See, that ending in Mark's gospel is a beginning. We could stay in the tomb, though. And we could argue some of those finer points. How did this happen? Did the body rise? Was this resuscitation? Is that the right note for ending that song? Or maybe we could be like those courageous women. Go to the places that feel like dead ends to us, where we think our song has stopped, and we can't in that moment, like the silence of Saturday, hear God's song rising. And then maybe we too could be stunned by what we'll see and hear as the faintness of that song picks up. See, the work isn't done by us at all. The stone is already rolled back, and God's rebellion in Jesus has been raised, and it's on the loose. See, no wonder those women were afraid at that particular moment. See, if Jesus' life had ended there, the song was finished, they could put it in a box, put it in the tomb. They could check that off and move on. But the story rose. God's new life met death and continued to play on. So I want to take us back to the very first line in the entire Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark starts with this: the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Most folks read that and think that the author is introducing the very beginning of this gospel. Mark is almost as bad at beginnings as he is at endings. Like in Matthew, you get all this beautiful story about the beginnings. And in Luke, you do. And in Mark, it's just like the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. What if Mark isn't actually just slow or simple, but brilliant? What if this is a beginning? Like all 16 chapters are the beginning of the good news. And what if that unresolved place that it ends is an invitation for you and for me and for all of creation to play on? To play with God in that sacred song of hope and resurrection in the face of death. Trusting that death never has a final word, that God's new life will rise in song today and tomorrow and always. Trip Fuller says it this way: when our dead ends happen, the grace of God comes to those places. The resurrection is a rupture We look at places in our own lives and in the world, and we think they're resolved. They're broken, unforgivable, dead. We all have those places. And if you woke up feeling really great on this Easter day, you too, or me too, we don't have to look around for very long to know that the world is hurting in profound ways around us, despairing at times. God's resurrection, though, finds hope in places that we look to and see only endings. We think that song is finished. The women went to the tomb, clear that it was over, but the song wasn't resolved. God's song never is. It continues. It's an unexpected note of hope, possibility, new life, forgiveness. That's who we are. We're a people not of what is actual, but what's possible. Not of endings, but of new beginnings. And the story of God is doing in and through Jesus. It's not over in an empty tomb. It's just getting started. That story is unresolved, inviting you and me and all of us to get caught up in God's resurrection song this day. So may we have the ears to hear the unresolvedness of God's resurrection, and may that song resound now and always. Amen.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.